please give a massive Christmas King Table welcome to Josh Williamson.
Well, Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas.
It's always wonderful to come at Christmas time and just celebrate. You know, you can meet people you've never met before, and at Christmas time, you're just best mates. It's wonderful. You know, I noticed that last night. We were actually working over in King George Square, and the Christmas lights, I don't know if you've seen City Hall, it's all lit up. It's wonderful. For the first time, we were working there for about 3 hours, so we saw the display many times. But you just meet people, and everyone's happy, everyone's joyful. It's Christmas. It's a wonderful time of year. But I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but there's been an increasing trend where people are starting to question what Christmas is all about. You know, recently people have been arguing over, you know, what's the real purpose of Christmas? What's the real meaning behind this Christmas celebration? I mean, the world over celebrates this event, but why? You know, some people said Christmas is just a time for children, it's a time for the family. Others said Christmas is all about love and how wonderful things are. A few people even will say, no, no, it's pagan, you shouldn't celebrate it, and it's all about making money. That's what Christmas is all about. Now, Christians would disagree with that. The Bible would disagree with these views. And the Bible actually tells us that Christmas is about a birth of a baby, a special baby, a unique baby, a baby who is actually God himself dwelling among us, the birth of Jesus Christ. And think about it, you know, we're 2,000 plus years on from the birth of Jesus, yet everyone still stops to celebrate him. I have 3 kids, and I guarantee you, you don't stop each year on their birthday to celebrate their birth. They're special, but they're not that special compared to Jesus. Yet when Jesus is born, everything stops, everything revolves around him. But people forget that. People forget that Christmas is about Jesus. So what some Christians do is actually what Pastor Matt just did. He uses a slogan that became very popular, and that is, Jesus is the reason for the season. Who's heard that before, apart from Matt? Yeah, many people have heard it. In fact, if you look at some cars, you'll see bumper stickers saying, Jesus is the reason for the season. If you were to come to my house and knock on my front door, you'd notice that we have this wreath on the front door saying, Jesus is the reason for the season. It's great when delivery drivers come to the door. They get really awkward. But there's this big declaration that Christmas is about Jesus. And while it's true that Jesus is central when it comes to Christmas, the question we need to ask is this. Is Jesus really the reason for Christmas? Think through that question for just a moment. Is Jesus really the reason for Christmas? Sure, it's about his birth. It's about him coming. But what was the reason for Christmas? What was the reason that Jesus came to the earth? To answer those questions, what we need to do is deal with the big issue, the big question of what's behind the Christmas celebration. Why is it that we sing joy to the world? Why do we sing Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Glory to the Newborn King? Why do we celebrate? Well, to get to the answer, we need to go back to the first Christmas. Now, the first Christmas, if you'd lived 2,000 years ago, looked a little bit different to what we're doing today. There'd be no lovely spread on the tables. There would be no turkey, no ham, no wonderful garlic bread coming out. No, it was a little bit different, and what happened was this. There was this young lady named Mary. You would have heard of her. She was a young lady. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph. Now, Joseph and Mary had done the right thing. They hadn't slept with each other before marriage. But one day, an angel rocked up and appeared to Mary and said, guess what, Mary? You've found favor in the sight of God. God is going to show you grace. He's going to show you kindness, and he's called you to have the Savior, to give birth to the Messiah, to give birth to the long-awaited King, Jesus. Now, Mary would have heard this, and it would have been a bit shocking for her because she knows how babies are made. And she's gone, hang on, I've never been with a bloke before. How can I have a child? And the angel said, no, what God is going to do is this. God's going to do a special work. The Holy Spirit will cause a baby to be formed in you. So you're still going to be a virgin, but you're going to have a child. And she submitted to that. Now, word eventually got to Joseph. Can you imagine Joseph hearing that news? You're a virgin, you're having a baby. Okay. Sure you are. You know, I can imagine he'd be skeptical. Who wouldn't be? He's probably thinking Mary's gone and done the dirty on him. He'd be very skeptical. But Joseph actually loves Mary, and he doesn't want to make her have shame in the public arena. So what he does is this. He says, I'm just going to break off the engagement quietly. I'll just put her aside quietly. No one has to know about this. I'll protect her. I'll cover her. I'll make sure that she doesn't get, you know, a reproach from society. But that night, as Joseph thought about these things, the Bible actually tells us an angel rocked up to him and said, Joseph, let me explain all that's going on. Mary indeed is a virgin, and Mary indeed is going to give birth to a son. The Holy Spirit has been at work within her. She's going to have a baby, he's going to be the Messiah, he's going to be the king. He's a special gift. And the angel then said, Joseph, I'm going to tell you the name of this baby, and this is what I want you to call him. And this is where we get to the reason of Christmas. Listen to what the angel says in Matthew 1:21. She, that is Mary, will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Did you catch the purpose there of Jesus' birth? He's going to come to save his people from their sins. This is the reason for Christmas. The reason for Christmas is that sin needs to be dealt with. The reason for Christmas is that we need a saviour. In fact, in Luke's gospel, when we hear about the angels talking to the shepherds who are watching their flocks in the field by night, the angels say to them, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. The reason for Christmas, the reason we celebrate, is that the Saviour has come. This rescuer has come and dwelt among us. Now think about that for just a moment. If the reason of the season is that the Saviour has come, doesn't that tell us that you and I have something we need to be saved from? I mean, just ponder that for a moment. Imagine I come rushing into this room, I walk up to this fine-looking gentleman here, I pick him up, I throw him over my shoulder, and I go running out of the church, screaming at the top of my lungs, I'm a saviour! I've saved you! Everyone would go, what's wrong with him? He's an idiot. He's a nutter. What do you mean, save him? He's sitting there waiting for his Christmas lunch. There's nothing to be saved from. It makes no sense, my action. Now, for me to be a saviour, for me to rescue him, there has to be danger. There has to be something for me to rescue him from. And it's the same with Jesus. For Jesus to be the saviour, for Jesus to be the rescuer, there must be something inside each and every one of us that says we need to be saved. We need to be rescued. And the Bible says that thing is sin. If there had been no sin, if we had done nothing wrong our entire lives, there would be no reason for Christmas. You see, the reason for the season is actually our sin. While we say Jesus is the reason for the season, that's true. You could equally turn to the person next to you and say, hey, you are the reason for the season. I am the reason for the season. Because as the Bible says, we've all sinned. We've all done wrong. Now you might hear them go, hang on a sec, Josh, I'm just waiting for my Christmas lunch. How dare you say I'm a sinner? Are you saying I'm a sinful person? Yes. And the reason I say this is because I'm a sinful person. I say that because I've done wrong. And I want to illustrate that. Who can see what's in my hand?
A mirror.
Now, if you're like most people, one of the first things you do in the morning is you look in something like this. And you have this restful night's sleep, but you look in the mirror and you see that it wasn't a restful night's sleep. If you have hair, it's wild. If you have pimples, you've got to squeeze them out. The mirror tells you about it. You might smile at the mirror and see your teeth are all yellow. You've got to deal with that too. The mirror doesn't lie to you. The mirror tells you what you look like, doesn't it? It doesn't look at you and say, you good-looking fella. No, it looks at you and says, you need to fix yourself up. The mirror reveals what we look like. It shows the problems on the outside. On the other side of this mirror, I actually have another mirror. A mirror for the soul. A mirror that shows if we have done sin or not. It's the mirror of God's law, the Ten Commandments. For instance, God's law, number 9, says, don't tell lies. Have you ever lied in your life? The Eighth Commandment says, don't steal. Have you ever taken something that doesn't belong to you? The Seventh Commandment says, do not commit adultery. But the Lord Jesus took it a step further and said, if you even look upon someone you're not married to with sexual desire, you've committed adultery in your heart. The Sixth Commandment says, don't murder. But God says the thought of hatred is the same as murder. The First and Second Commandments say that we should have God as number 1, that we should love him with everything we have. And it's pretty clear that none of us do that. We don't love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. You see, when we start to look in this mirror, when we start to look at God's rules, we quickly see that we're in need of a Saviour. We quickly see that we've done wrong and we're in need of rescue. If you break the law in Brisbane, the police will arrest you. There'll be a consequence for your actions. And it's the same with God. If you break God's law, God's rules, there's a consequence. And the Bible says the punishment for our sin is death and hell. That's bad news. That's why we need Christmas. Christmas is good news. Good news. The Saviour, the Rescuer has come. Our sin said judgment and death, but Christmas says the Rescuer has come to save us from our sins. That's what the angel said at the first Christmas. Jesus will save. You see, Jesus is the Creator God, the second person of the Trinity. He cares for us. He loves us. He knows all about you. He knows everything about you. He made you and He loves you. He cares for you. He knows that you and I deserve judgment. He knows that. He knows that we rightfully deserve hell. But what does He do? He says, I love you. I've loved you of an everlasting love. I love you, I love you, I love you. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to rescue you. So what He did is this. He stepped out of heaven, was born as a babe in Bethlehem. We celebrate the first Christmas. That baby grew up. He lived a perfect life. He never did anything wrong. And then He willingly laid down His life to go to the cross and die in the place of sinners. Remember, our sin said death and judgment. Jesus in love said, I will be judged and I will die in the place of sinners. The angel at the first Christmas said Jesus will save His people from their sins, and this is how He did it. Our sin said death. Jesus was stretched out upon the cross and He died in the place of sinful people. The Christ of the cradle is the Christ of the cross.
Amen.
See, Christmas paints that picture. The Rescuer, the Saviour has come. He will grow up to die. He will be crucified, dead and buried. But then on the third day, He'll rise again from the dead. And then He will offer you a gift. Just like we give gifts at Christmas time, Jesus offers us a gift. He offers you the gift of rescue. He offers you the gift of forgiveness of sins.
Amen.
He says, no matter what you've done, it can all be done away with. No matter the past, no matter the shameful things you've done, Jesus says, I know about it already. And I'm still prepared to forgive you.
Yeah, that's good.
Here's a gift. Reach out. Take it. Open the gift. And the way we take the gift of Jesus is by repenting. That's turning from our sins. And believing that it's only by His death, burial and resurrection that we can be saved. My question for you as we finish is this. Have you received the gift of Christmas? Jesus holds out His hand to you this day and says, I will save people from their sins. I will save you. I can rescue you no matter what you've done. But you must reach out and take my hand. You must trust in me. Will you be rescued this Christmas? Let me finish by doing this. Someone asked me before, what's this all about? Let me try and illustrate this. Imagine this is your life. That darkness is all the wrong things you've done, all the sins you've committed. When we've done wrong, we often try to do some good works to fix it up. We might help people out and hope that gets rid of our sin. Doesn't do anything. Someone says, if I read my Bible, that might get rid of my sin also. Nah, not going to help. Maybe if I go to church and listen to Pastor Matt, that might get rid of my sin.
Doing good. Oh.
No, I nearly made it darker.
Oh.
It didn't do anything, did it? The black is still there. The water is still dark.
Yeah.
Nothing we do can remove our sins. That's why we need Christmas. Christ came down from heaven, was born in a manger, He dwelt among us, He became like us, He lived a perfect life, and then He went to the cross to die for us. He was crucified, dead and buried, and 3 days later He rose again from the dead.
Whoa.
And because He did all that, we can be made brand new.
Oh.
We can be made clean. We can be made clean, not by anything we do, but by Jesus. But He holds out the gift and says, will you be made brand new? Will you be forgiven? So that's my question today. Will you be forgiven? The Saviour has come. He will save His people from their sins. Today, would you come to know Him?